and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A new report from the National Civic League focuses a critical lens on Cincinnati's government. Sparked by the corruption charges and ethics challenges at city council, the report includes recommendations for the city's council manager form of government. The study was funded by the Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation, which also awarded WVXU a grant for its Trust in Local Government series, which this segment is part of today. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the report, our University of North Carolina Professor of Public Administration and Government, Dr. Kimberly Nelson. Dr. Nelson, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I believe we also have with us National Civic League President Doug Linkhart. Doug, are you with us?
Yes. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being with us today. And if you're listening and you have questions or comments, just give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email your thoughts, comments, and questions to talk@wvxu.org. Doug, I want to start with some background on how a study like this begins. I understand that in analyzing Cincinnati's form of government, you compared it to seven other cities. They include Corpus Christi, Des Moines, Durham, Long Beach, Tacoma, Tallahassee, and Wichita. Where do you begin with something like this?
Well, the National Civic League shares the goal of the Seasongood Foundation of local governance being as effective as it can be. And Cincinnati was one of the early adopters of the council manager form of government, which helps to ensure the integrity and effectiveness of a local government. So when the Seasongood Foundation was looking at the potential for improving the effectiveness and integrity and ethics of local government in Cincinnati, they reached out to us, and Kim Nelson is one of the nation's leading thought leaders on city management and local governance. So we partnered with Kim to work with the Seasongood Foundation to look at some of the underlying factors underneath the effectiveness of a city government like Cincinnati.
And Kim, if you wouldn't mind, help us understand where you began on a project like this. As I noted, there were seven cities that have similar forms of government that you analyzed. But what do you do at the very beginning of something like this?
Well, we wanted to think about how best to get some data about best practices around the country, as well as some information about how Cincinnati's been functioning both in the past and currently. And the cities were selected based on comparability to Cincinnati, but we also wanted regional diversity. So we looked around the country because we wanted to get an idea of what was out there and how other council manager forms of government have been functioning.
What stood out to you as particular challenges for Cincinnati, or perhaps opportunities when comparing them to those other cities, Kim?
So Cincinnati has a fairly easy process to modify its form of government, more so than most places in the United States, most states. And so over the years, there have been numerous changes to the charter in Cincinnati, and this has led to it looking quite a bit differently from what other council manager governments look like. And so that really stood out to us, was that a few cities do have minor departures, but not as many as Cincinnati has chosen to adopt.
We have a link to this full report at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. We'll run through some of the recommendations that stand out. And as Dr. Nelson just mentioned, of course, voters here certainly remember a couple of decades ago when in 1999, a charter amendment was approved, modifying the role of mayor. Now we elect the mayor directly. He or she would have more legislative powers than most mayors in this type of government, which is a council manager form of government. And that includes the initiation of the hiring and the firing of a city manager, as well as controlling the legislative process. And I'll go back to Doug Linkhart, who is the National Civic League president. When you look at those specific changes that Cincinnati made to its charter as it relates to mayoral powers while retaining a council manager form of government, is that problematic?
Yes, we work with cities all over the country, and we publish a model city charter that was first published in 1900, so it's been around for over 120 years. So we spend a lot of time looking at the council manager form of government and advocating for that form as a way to reduce corruption and improve effectiveness. So these are uncommon practices for a city, looking at cities throughout the country. Normally, you would not have the mayor having such a strong role in hiring the city manager. It would be something done by the city council. And nor would you have the mayor setting the agenda for city council. That would be done by the city manager.
Kim, perhaps it would be helpful if we explain what a typical definition of council manager form of government is supposed to be.
Well, so there is quite a bit of variety throughout the United States, but currently the typical council manager form of government, which matches up with the model city charter version, is a council that is elected by the public, and this can be either by district or at large, depending on the city. And a mayor generally today is elected at large. Originally, under the council manager form, the mayor was to be selected by the council, but today that is not typical. And then the council and the mayor together would hire a manager, and this manager would direct the operations of local government and provide policy advice to the elected officials as they implement the vision for the city.
One of the key recommendations that emerged from this report is, quote, to practice in alignment with the existing council manager charter, Cincinnati City Council should reassert its authority in several key areas, such as a stronger role in the manager selection process, evaluating the city manager's performance, and calling an executive session when the purpose fits within the bounds of open meeting laws. I'm quoting from a summary of the report provided by the Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation, which funded this report from the National Civic League. So, Kim, when we think about that recommendation, it seems like knowing the politics of the city that some members of council might want to explore that. What are the mechanisms that might be deployed for a city council to reassert what might have been its authority all along?
So that's a great question. I think that it's possible for the council to do that now if they so chose. However, the way the charter is currently laid out, if they choose not to take that action, the mayor's authority is considerably greater than what you would normally see in a council manager form of government. The problem with that, when the lines become blurred between council manager and mayor council form of government, it leads to quite a few problems. Accountability is lessened. The council really isn't engaging in enough oversight as we would expect it to. And so we really would really prefer to see the council taking on its role as the legislative body, as well as the overseer of the executive side of the house.
Doug, when a report like this comes out from an organization like yours and it is received by the government or the organization that commissioned it, what do you find typically follows in terms of action?
Well, it's really up to the local community, and the action could come from any quarter of the community. It could come from the city council, from the mayor. There could be pressure from particular interests in the community. So we hope that there is action, but it's really up to the community, and every city is different. We like to think that a city like Cincinnati would like to address some of the issues that you've faced over the past many years, like some of the city council scandals, in a way that is a longer term process that addresses the underlying issues. And that corruption is one of the symptoms of a system that is unbalanced. So we hope that someone in the city will take up the mantle, whether it's the foundation or the council or others, and help redress that imbalance.
I do want to note another quote from the summary provided by the Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation. It says, While modifications to the form of government are not directly responsible for any of the recent corruption charges, the study's authors suggest that the traditional council manager form includes elements related to professionalism and accountability that can provide protection from corruption. And Dr. Kimberly Nelson is a professor at the University of North Carolina in the area of public administration and government. Dr. Nelson, I think you touched a bit on this at the beginning of our conversation, but could you explain a little more about how this traditional council manager form of government is specifically designed to encourage professionalism and accountability to protect from the type of issues we've seen in Cincinnati?
Sure. And I would like to point out that there is research that I've done, long-term research on corruption in municipal government that supports what I'm going to say, which is that when a manager is given the appropriate authority to direct the operations of government, the manager makes hiring decisions solely based on qualifications of the person being hired, not political qualifications. Also, in the council manager form, we see a different set of incentives for all of the people working in government if it's a traditional council manager form. So the incentives for the manager are to run the government well so that the council will keep the person in their position. The primary incentive of elected officials is to work together collaboratively to make good policy decisions along with the mayor. In a non-traditional form where the mayor has an independence that you don't typically see in the council manager form, the mayor is incentivized to try to gain politically and try to develop factions on council. And we also see that this independence may lead elected officials to seek out improper relationships with different entities outside of government that can lead to corruption.
I want to read a direct quote from the report. "While it may appear that Cincinnati's manager has similar authority to other managers around the country, the mayor's authority to initiate hiring and firing of the manager and the mayor's role in commenting on and transmitting the annual budget to the council changes the accountability dynamic for the manager. Although the charter cautions against interference by the mayor or council members in the appointment process, to retain their job, managers will seek to please the person who can remove them." We'll continue our conversation about this report. Just ahead, a little bit later on, we'll talk about some local historic properties facing demolition or further neglect. They have deep ties to local Black history, and both projects recently received what proponents of them view as good news. We'll talk about that coming up. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our conversation about a new report full of recommendations for the city of Cincinnati's government. And this is part of our Trust in Local Government, WVXU's Public Integrity Project. The report was funded by the Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation, which also funded the grant that provides this coverage for you. We are joined today by National Civic League President Doug Linkhart and University of North Carolina Professor of Public Administration and Government, Dr. Kimberly Nelson. 513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation. Dr. Nelson, I'll go back to you quickly because the problems legally facing multiple members of Cincinnati City Council, one who has been convicted and sentenced to prison, two others who are fighting the charges against them, they're all related to bribery and developments that were going on in the city. And I'm wondering what you found in respect to a need perhaps for better clarity for members of council to better define their roles in the developer development process.
Yes. Yeah, so in the other cities that we compared Cincinnati to, we saw that there was a great deal more involvement of staff in the process, and that they really, the developers knew that the staff people were the ones that they should primarily work with. And they did not approach individual elected officials. One manager I spoke to in another city said that, you know, it's an important part of the elected official training in their city that they understand what is and is not appropriate if they're approached by a business representative and how they should handle that. And so we saw that with the lack of executive sessions, there's really no way for council as a group to make decisions about what they do and do not want to engage in as negotiations, so that they aren't able to make these normally private, because it's a legal decision about what they would offer as incentives. And so therefore the developers believe that they can just approach the council members individually. In other places, council comes to consensus about what they will and will not offer developers, and then make that public after they've negotiated it. And so it's a little bit different in Cincinnati.
Doug, I'll note that this report relied on experts, as they're called, and I'm wondering how these experts are identified to talk about these types of issues.
We did reach out to people around the country at universities and cities who are sort of thought leaders on city management. But we also interviewed stakeholders in the Cincinnati area, nonprofit leaders, business leaders, and government leaders. So we feel like we have a pretty broad array of input in addition to the cities that we looked at. I was a city council member for 8 years, and I never talked to a developer about the particulars of a deal prior to it coming to council. And we were warned by other city managers and some of these folks in academia that it's a dangerous precedent for individual council members to be meeting with a developer about the particulars of the incentives that might be provided. And that's what I think is underlying some of the corruption that you've seen.
A need for better clarity on that in the city of Cincinnati?
Yes, and a code of ethics and ethics training for council members. This is a little bit separate from the other conversation about imbalance, but I think it relates in that the city manager and the department heads are really in charge of these conversations until they get to the full council as a body. The council may want to use executive sessions, which they have not used in the past, to discuss these kinds of arrangements, but it really should be at the tail end of the conversation.
I want to talk about another change that the city council has made in rapid succession. City council members were elected for 2-year terms, and then it was changed to 4-year terms. There was conversations about staggering a group of council members and maintaining 4-year terms, and now we're going back to 2-year terms. Dr. Nelson, what can you tell us about your evaluation of that process in Cincinnati? We've got about 90 seconds left.
So it is unusual to make changes so rapidly and to have that level of instability. I think it's confusing for the electorate too. So, you know, whether it's 2 or 4 year terms, that's debatable as to which one's superior, but we definitely would like to see a greater level of stability in the process in Cincinnati.
Okay. And again, this is a study funded by the Murray and Agnes Seasongood Good Government Foundation. It was delivered by the National Civic League. We have a link to that full report at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. I'd like to ask in our last 30 seconds together, what is the main takeaway for Cincinnati stakeholders here, Kim? If they're going to skim the report or maybe not take it in fully, what's the main thing you think they should notice?
I think that they should consider refining the form to be more consistent with traditional council manager form and the model city charter. I do think that it's important that their elected officials fulfill the roles that they're intended to fulfill.
That's University of North Carolina Professor of Public Administration and Government, Dr. Kimberly Nelson, and also National Civic League President Doug Linkhart has been with us as well. Doug, Kim, thank you both so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.